Happy Mother's Day also to each one of you mothers. There's a story told of four preachers that were getting together and talking of Bible translations and which one was the best in their opinion. And the one, of course, he liked the King James Version. It was so poetic. It was just a good, easy read, as it were, although the language might be a little bit old-fashioned. Another one's like, well, he really likes the NIV because it just makes it a lot plainer and easier to read to understand. Another one's like, he likes the American Standard because it's a modern but yet very literal, very close to the original translation of the language. The fourth minister sat there a little bit and was quiet, and he was like, I like my mother's translation of Scripture. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And then, like, she lived out the Bible to me when I was a kid growing up. I could read her life and live my life according to how she lived, how she taught, but how she lived. He said, that's the best translation that I ever saw. Mothers, you have huge, huge responsibility. Maybe even more so, you have a huge, huge privilege of teaching and training. And we want to look this morning at some of the responsibilities and some of the rewards, some of the duties of a mother. This message will apply and does apply to all females. Whether you're a mother or not. Some of what I'm going to say this morning, as a good preacher would say, you know, forgive me for it. Some of what I'm going to speak from a man's perspective of looking at what a mother is, what a wife is, and how maybe a mother and wife is versus how she appears or comes across. So for you men this morning, it's probably appropriate to say that for some of the things I'm saying, I'm okay with not having affirmation like amens. You know, you can just be quiet. I get so tired of all the garbage out there of the modern world proclaiming women being equal to men. And I think it's a bunch of garbage. They're not equal to men. It's an illegitimate statement to say that, I believe. Because if a woman is equal to man, or vice versa, then both genders can do everything the same. It can do everything the same. And I'm sorry, but I don't know what planet you come from if you don't agree with this, but it's not possible for that to happen, for men or for women, to be equal. So to say that they're equal is not true. To say they have equal value, absolutely. But their roles are definitely different. But so much of the culture today is perverting the role of womanhood, of what a real woman really is. And the culture is dictating today that a real woman is one who can do or has the opportunity to do, if she would so desire, anything that a man can do. It's garbage. It ain't going to happen. It just is not going to happen. And so therefore, some of those arguments that are out there are so worthless. They're futile. They're not worth talking about. But yet, I sort of understand where someone's coming from the secular worldview as opposed to a Christian worldview. It's going to be different. People will not understand how we as believers apply God's word. And they don't even know that it's God's word that we're applying, but how we apply life in our daily living. We want people to understand that, but brothers and sisters, I think we have to come to grips with it that as much as you're going to try to explain it, they're probably not going to understand. You're going to be much better off just living it. Live out what you know God's word teaches and God's word explains. So God did make each gender very different. And it's not only in the anatomy, but it is in the way we act, in the way we think. And I don't believe it was just something that God, when he created man and woman, that it came by accident that women think differently than men, or men think differently than women. It was by specific design that God did this, not a question about it. So this morning we want to look at different scriptures and what scripture has to say on it. I can tell you my opinions, and you can walk out of here and like, there he goes again. Goes off on this tangent. But I think far too often we are allowing, and it seems like it's getting worse, but we're allowing, and hear what I'm saying, we're allowing culture to dictate what a real woman is. We're allowing culture to dictate what defines real motherhood. And some of that is even changing it from what was accepted practice even in the secular world. Even leaving the Bible out of that, leaving God's word and God's mandates and God the dictates that are in Scripture. The world, meaning non-believers, used to accept the roles of what a female is, of how a woman operates, how a mother operates. And today, it seems like that's all being turned around. To bring clarity is what they do it for, supposedly. And it doesn't. All it does is it creates more confusion and more confusion. And after a while, there's no foundation. And then they try to blame it on other things. But we as believers, if we can get back and recognize that God's word is our foundation, period. That's where you have to start from. Other than that, it's going to move on you. It's going to like building on sand. And brothers and sisters, the more we get this thing right of what God's word says, there's going to be several things that will happen. Your life will make sense to the world, but yet it won't make sense. Your life, as the world looks in on you, they might say you're crazy and you're goofy, but they cannot refute what's going on. They're like, something, they're weird. But it's whatever they're doing, man, wouldn't that be neat if I would have that? The more we get that right, that's going to happen. The other thing that's going to happen, as much as it goes against what in our mind we would think, but the more we can apply God's word literally to our lives. And this, again, this morning, I'm going to try to stay on the case of you women more than the men. I'm going to leave the men alone. Father's Day is coming up. So get ready for that. But I want to focus on women. So there's going to be scriptures that I'm reading that I'm really, it'll talk about the husband, and then it'll talk about the wife. I'm going to read over it maybe, but I will not talk about what the husband, okay? And I hope you're okay with that. Because I want to focus on the ladies this morning. But the more you focus and understand what God's word says, and then apply that, even though it doesn't seem like it would work or make sense or be the most profitable or being the most fulfilling, but that it could actually be something that holds you back, that pushes you down, that whatever. But the more that you can apply these principles that God has in His Word, just for what they say, and in faith believing them, the more your life is going to be fulfilled, ladies. And again, this does not apply just to mothers this morning. This applies to all females that are here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. And again, I'm talking to the ladies this morning. More is caught than taught. You've heard me saying that. But we'll talk a little bit about the men. I've got several examples, and I'm just using the men because, and I'll bring in some lady examples too, but we feel sometimes that we can say one thing and do another thing with our children, for example, and that they won't catch on, and that they'll just listen and obey. Not a plan. It ain't going to work. More is caught than taught. So what I'm saying is, how many of you, let's look at the men first of all on this. How many of you men are working in an occupation that was the same or very similar to what your dad worked in? It's not going to be every one of you, but just raise your hands. Okay? How many of you men enjoy the same sports as your dad? Okay? How many of you men drive the same brand truck or would lean towards that same brand if you could afford it as your dad? Okay. How many of you ladies go shopping because of your... No, that's not a good one. What about you women? How many of you would say the brand of sewing machine that you own? What influenced you to buy it? Would it be... Was it your mom's brand? How many? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you enjoy, say, cooking because of your mom? Okay. Again, this is not something that is true straight across the board. I knew it wouldn't be. But what I'm getting at is, in all areas of life, there are so many things that we do just because mom or dad taught us that way. And they didn't teach us that to say, now son, when you grow up, you need to drive a Chevrolet. My boys probably would never buy a Dodge. Is a Dodge truck bad? Well, no, but they just know better. And it's one of those things. It's just the way we're instilled. Now, Mikey's a little bit of a rebel here because he's talking about buying a Ford pickup, and I struggle with that a little bit. But we'll leave that. Diane's mom was a Electrolux sweeper lady. She liked Electrolux. So Diane's bend was towards, again, one of those same things. More is caught than taught. Now, sometimes the things that you find yourself doing can be the exact opposite of what mom or dad, in this case, did. But usually that is because you have seen something in that action that was not somewhere where you wanted to go. But it generally is something that you made a conscious decision of. When you do something against, as it were, what your parent did. Good one here on what going back to what Harold, I think, likes NASCAR racing. And this guy has got his whole family intrigued with NASCAR racing. Could it be that if he wouldn't, they wouldn't? Quite possibly. And again, a lot of these things are, they're neither here nor there. But it is interesting to see the influence that you parents, and this morning, moms, that you have on your children. We are teaching our children, whether we are teaching our children or not. Even the parents that allow their children just to go rampant and no teaching or training, they are teaching their children. And we do teach our children by design. We teach our children by telling them, do this and this and this and this. And then we teach them by the way we do, as I was just referring to. Might I submit to you this morning that probably what your children more are going to catch on to and what they're going to hear is the things that they hear you saying, and they hear it with their eyes by what you're doing. It doesn't go through their ears. They're hearing it through their eyes. Could it be that there's times that we wonder, why in the world do my children act like this? What is their problem? Why don't they get it? That the problem might be in the mirror. Would you have enough courage, ladies, and again, ladies, I'm going to just keep nailing you. Would you have enough courage to go to someone who you might think don't even like you very well, and ask them, her, we can keep it gender specific, but ask another lady what she sees in you that is a fallacy, or that is, you're saying this, but you're doing this. I would venture to say, if you've got enough guts to do that, you're either going to make some changes based on what that person told you, or you're going to walk away ticked off at that person because they have no clue what they're talking about. But I'd like to submit to you this morning that if you do that and you hear things that you don't want to hear, it's a whole lot easier to accept them from that person because you went to them and you asked for this, as opposed to someone coming up and just tapping you on the shoulder and say, lady, you are sort of off base here, because suddenly your defenses go up and you're like, well, you ain't so perfect yourself. I saw you. But if you ask, it makes it easier on the person giving the advice and instruction, and it also makes it easier on you, the person who needs advice and instruction. We want to look at three areas this morning quickly. that relate to or influence the role of a mother. The first one, we want to look at the mother as a child. The second one we look at is a mother as a wife, and the third one we look at is a mother as a mother. And you're thinking, boy, that's crazy, but that's how it is. But the first one we look at is a mother as a child. Before someone can ever become a mother, now this is newsflash. Before someone ever becomes a mother, they have to first become a child. There's no way around it. We as parents do so much to shape and to mold our children. But too often we think we have so much time left, or we have so much time to teach and to train our children, that time gets away. Or we have so many issues in our own lives, and I don't say we, I say you, because I'm not talking about the men, I'm talking about the women, so I can't include me. But you have so many issues in your own lives that you're dealing with that you're not properly training your children. And these issues that you have in your life reflect themselves, maybe not through your words because you're good at hiding it, but they reflect it very much through your actions. And your children are hearing with their eyes. Philippians 2, 1 through 9. I want to read that, and I'm not going to make a lot of comments on it. There's about one verse in there that I want to pick up on. Philippians 2, 1 through 9. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, or if you have any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others. And here's the verses I want. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature in the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Doesn't stop there. He became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Verse 7 says, he made himself nothing. And I never thought of that before, but as I look at that, it says, Jesus made himself nothing. Because he was very much something. Because he was the Son of God. But he had to take himself and make himself to be nothing in order to come down to this earth and to be among us and to be like we are. And to make himself obedient to death. Not just death himself or death to his own will, but physical, actual death. Then it says even the death on a cross. How many of you this morning would like for your children to look at you as that kind of a person that would be obedient unto death? To be that kind of person that there's nothing that you would not do for the sake of your family. And I believe there's not a one of you in here that would say that you wouldn't do that. But so often, we'd be willing to physically allow ourselves, to rescue our child from physical death, snatch him out of the street, and us risk getting run over. But we're not willing to lay down our own life without dying and to say, it's not about me, It's about you, God. It's not about what I want. It's about you. Ephesians 6:4 talks about the fathers. And so what we want to talk about is the mother as a child. So before you're a mother, you have to be a child. There's things that each one of us has to deal with when we grow up. We have to deal with the home life that we had. The good, the bad, the great home life, or the lack thereof. And at some point, we have to go on with life. At some point, we have to recognize that if it was a not great home life, that there's nothing I can go back there to make it change. I will not be able to change the past. It is what it is. I have a choice now to move forward. But, fathers, you are told in Scripture to not provoke your children to wrath, but to bring them up. So you have to be deliberate in how you train and teach. This is talking to the fathers. And then Colossians 3:20 says that children are to obey their parents in all things. So you children, Scripture says you are to obey in all things. God gave you parents, children, to help you along. There's things that you as children don't understand. There's things that dad asks you to do. There's things that mom tells you to do that you don't understand, but it says to obey. It doesn't say that if you understand. This is to the children. Colossians 3:21 again says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And in 2 Corinthians 12:14, and we don't have time much for that one, but it says, this is the third time I'm coming to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, but for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. There's probably different ways to go with that verse. But what I want to get at with that this morning is that you as parents, and again, mom and dad, you have a responsibility to lay up for your children. And so often we could look at that verse and say, that means that we need to put money back. And we keep putting money back and put money back so that when the children grow up, they're provided for. It could mean that. We won't go there. But I would like to take this morning that you build up and store up treasures for your children in the way you live. And starting even way back before you have children. Starting back before you even married. Starting back before you're even dating. But as you children grow up, that you recognize and you look at the type of spouse that you're wanting. And that it's going to be someone who will store up treasures for your children when you get married. Let's move on. Let's look at, and this is the one I would spend the most time on, mother as a wife. Another rocket science moment. In order for there to be a mother, there must needs be a father. In our culture, it's becoming more and more accepted for it to stop there. And you notice I said mother and father. I didn't say husband and wife. But as believers, as Christians, for us to be abiding in His Word and us to be pleasing our lives to Him, to become a mother, to become a birth mother, there must needs to be a husband, not just a male figure. There must needs to be a husband if we're going to live according to what Scripture teaches. There could be, maybe, but I'm not going there, some exceptions. Yeah, let's not even talk about, we won't. But in general, for the most part, if not all of it, as believers, living right, there has to be a husband and a wife to become a father or a mother. Our culture does so many things to influence our thinking that that's not so. And if we're not careful, we buy into it without even realizing it because we hear it so much, you know, of Johnny has two mommies or Sally has two daddies. And it doesn't shock us like it used to. But that as God's word has set up what's right and what's honorable, what's notable, is man, woman, being husband and wife, and having family. We have to be careful with what even we allow ourselves to hear in the culture around us, whether it's on the news, whatever, that even what our children are hearing. And we can get so used to it that we don't even think about it. But I think we have to recognize that our culture is going so far away from God's design, and we're getting so used to it. In 1 Samuel, Hannah, she wanted a son so bad. But she made some serious vows, and she kept them, as we understand. And so you as mothers this morning, you also made vows when we had baby dedication of how you're going to teach and train and be committed to this young life. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. That's the one I want to focus on. Every woman is to have her own husband. Doesn't mean that every woman has to be married in order to be pleasing to God, but it means that if you're going to be married, have your own husband. And I think that's interesting, and it makes more impact today than it would have maybe 20 years ago, of having your own husband. Not having someone else's husband. Not having relationships out in the workplace to where, yeah, they're not immoral, but maybe almost. But to recognize your own husband. 1 Corinthians 7:3 says, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. We're not focusing on that, but it says, but also the wife unto the husband. Due benevolence, the disposition to do good. And I think that goes right along with women having your own husband. The propensity, especially it seems in the workplace, is for women to have the propensity to do good to your husband, or to your husband, but not to her own husband. The way you treat them, the way you dress up before you meet them, and again, nothing even, we're not going to anything that's immoral, but as a mindset, as the way we treat someone else's husband as opposed to the way you treat your own husband. I think there's something to be said in that. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Ladies, when you said, I do, you gave away your own life, as it were. You gave up a lot of things when you said, I do. It says, you do not have the power of your own body. But you give that to your husband. 1 Corinthians 7:10 says, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from the husband. Verse 11, that same passage, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Two choices. Or be reconciled to her own husband, is what I believe it would tell us. Two choices. Stick with it, ladies. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The definition for submit, ladies, is to stop trying to fight or to resist. It's to agree to do or to accept something that you have been resisting or opposing. It also could very much have the connotation that the word submit is that you do because your husband asked you to. Even though you don't understand it and you think it's stupid. As long as it is not immoral, illegal, or sinful. And when I say sinful, you're not allowed to use the definition of sinful according to what you would like the definition of sinful to be, but a biblical term of sinful. I don't think, as believers, we have a choice. But it says, the wives are to submit. The world says, that's crazy, that's old-fashioned, that is stupid. No, it's crazy. I can't use that word. I didn't realize it was this, found this many times in Scripture. 5:24 in Ephesians. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5:33. First part talks about the husband. We won't read that. It says, and the wife see that she reverence, or NIV says, respect her husband. Ladies, your husband does not have to earn your respect. Not according to Scripture. It just says you are to see. And it even has the idea that it's going to take some effort because this is really going to be hard to do. And I think it is. Elsewise, it would not be in Scripture. You will not find things in Scripture that we are commanded to do that are something that you are naturally bent towards doing. Not talking down to or about your husband to others, or when you're in conversation and he's there and you're like, oh, I don't know where you got that idea. Or treating your husband like one of your little ones. And I know, ladies, that can be possible because sometimes you're stuck at home all day and it's like, you know, I would just love to have an adult to talk to. I think I kind of know what you mean, although I don't. But it is never proper to talk down to your husband. You do not understand what a husband feels when the wife, it doesn't matter, there's 100 other women can do that to the same man and talk down on him, but it's different if you, my wife, does that to me. It makes me feel like that little kid inside when mom was threatening to whip me. You are not gaining any brownie points, ladies, when you do that. Don't do it. But treat him as if he's worthy of the respect that you're going to give him. Dwayne showed me a... That's a disclaimer. It came from Dwayne. The man and his woman, his wife, were talking. And the man was bragging on her how she was so... She never rose up against him when he knew that she disagreed with him. So he asked her one day, they were sitting on the front porch, and she's like, well, I've just learned that when we have those confrontations, I just go clean the toilets. And he couldn't quite understand what. So he probed, which he probably shouldn't have done. She said, with your toothbrush. Ladies, don't do that. Use other ways to release your frustrations. First Timothy 3:11 talks to Jolene. It does. Even so must Jolene be grave, not slanderer, sober, faithful in all things, the wife of a deacon. Whew. That's an honorable mention, Jolene. That also applies very much to each one of you ladies. 2 Timothy 1:15 talks about, Paul's talking about Timothy and the things that he learned from his grandmother and his mother. Doesn't talk about a dad being in that home. Where was the dad? Where was the grandpa? 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection. NIV says, be submissive. I was surprised at that. And King James says, likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. NIV says, wives, you be submissive to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be won without the word by the conversation of their wives. How can it be won without the word by the conversation? I thought conversation meant talk. The conversation that they're talking about is the way that you act, the way that you respond to this ungodly man that you're living with that is called your husband. So this plainly tells us that just because a husband would not be a believer does not give you the right to not submit to him. Again, as long as he's not asking you to do something that is wrong, immoral. First Timothy 5:14, I would therefore that the younger women marry, they bear children, they guide the house. I think I thought the King James, maybe some different passage, talks about keepers at home. But giving none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Again, this is one of those passages that the world refutes. But here it specifically talks about the responsibilities of a wife, of a mother. Now, can it be that there's sometimes that mom goes to work and dad stays home? I think so. But as a general rule, dad is the breadwinner, and it has much, much more to do with the fact of not the fact of him being the breadwinner, but it has something to do with the mentality of dad. If he is not the breadwinner, there's something in his mind that is saying that he is not providing correctly for his family. Does that mean a woman can't ever go out and work? I'm not going to go there this morning, which is not time. But the husband is to be the breadwinner. If the woman is going out and working, it would come back to submitting to the desires of the husband. It's not something that the woman is going to say, well, I am going to do this. But it all comes back where the woman is submitting to what the husband wants. And it can even be in conversation as you talk. But ultimately, the wife is commanded in Scripture to submit. I'm sorry if you don't like that. I didn't say it. Then for you older ladies, and nobody's older, right? But it says that you may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Ladies that are older, and you might say, I'm not older, but if we would ask the younger who the older is, we'd be surprised, because it would be anything that's a year older than Annie. She's getting close to 40. I think to a 20-year-old, a 40-year-old is probably pretty ancient. So even if you don't think of yourself as an older lady, take up that scripture and teach them by your example what it means to teach your children the way you live, and also how to to respect your husband. We think that we can teach our children respect. Don't do this, do this, by the way we tell them. And then we don't understand why they're sometimes discourteous. Is that a right word? Disrespectful to other people. Could it be that your children, ladies, mothers, are only acting the way that they've seen you act to dad when you're at home and no one else is watching? And your children are even over in the corner playing with their dolls and their trucks? But they're listening with their eyes and with their ears when you don't think they're paying any. Don't dumb down your children. You can teach them all you want to respect others. And if it doesn't happen, look at yourself and see, is there something that you're doing? I have to think of Leora. Those of you that remember her, most of you do. But when you would go to her house for chicken chow mein, and then she would tell you to tell Eldon, tell them about Rex when you were on the mail route, on the milk route. Eldon would say, "Ah, they don't heard that story already. Oh, Eldon, tell them about Rex." He'd proceed to tell us about Rex, and we did hear the story before, but it was still funny. After he would get done, I so remember her. She'd be sitting there, he'd on the end, and she's sitting there beside him. After you get done, she'd look at him, and then she'd look at us, and she'd say, "Ain't he funny?" She deeply, deeply respected him. Although she heard that, and she laughed as if she would have never heard that story before, but she had heard it who knows how many times. That's what I'm talking about, is to where your husband doesn't, it doesn't have to be, he's not going to be that perfect man. And you're even, ladies, going to be able to look at other men and see character qualities that you wish were in your husband. You're going to see things that other men don't do that you wish your husband would not do. That does not give you the right, the privilege, the option, freedom to disregard your husband and to respect him and honor him. Submit yourselves to in obedience, even unto death. And even a greater death than physical death is the death to yourself, because that's something that we have to die to every day. A mother as a mother. A lot of what we do as parents, mothers, has to do with the way that we were raised and taught as we grew up. Whether it was by design or whether it was something that your parents proactively taught you, good or bad. More is caught than taught. You don't have as much time as you think, people. You will look back, even if you've lacked, or if you've done everything perfect, or if you've lacked, you will look back and say, "Where has the time gone? I thought I had these years left yet to teach and to train, and they're gone. My children are now this old, they are growing." Very important, ladies. Teach, 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 teach by example. It's okay to read in the Bible story books. It's okay to do and say some of these other things. But teach them by respecting your own husband, their dad. And even, I even go back to my mother, because our home life was dysfunctional. It just was. I didn't know it was. But my mother used my sisters as a confidant, as you sort of should use your husband for, because it's just how it was. It's not fair for you to do that, moms. It's not fair for you to do that to your children. The same way, when there's a divorce case, the tendency is for when dad gets the kids that he talks about what mom did and how mom did this wrong and vice versa. Never, never, never a good thing. Because it doesn't matter how bad and how lacking dad is. In this case, for those that are your husbands and wives that are married, it doesn't matter how lacking dad is. If you talk about him to your children about how he's missing the mark, your children have to make decisions that they should not have to make. You're making your children make a decision whether they're going to take up for you or for dad based on who they think is the most right. You will not come out winning on that one. Save those conversations for someone else. Don't do those conversations with your children. And I know, we need to talk. So often, we need to talk. And we, as men, we don't get it so often. But more understand that, ladies, you need to talk, and you don't want answers, but you just need to talk. And that's okay, but don't do it to your children. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This gives the idea that the world culture is lying in wait to deceive. It is not just by default that the world culture is influencing us. The world culture, we should not be surprised to understand that the world culture, they have an agenda. We've often said, like, why are they not satisfied with just living their ungodly life the way? Why aren't they satisfied with just going doing their ungodly acts and leave us alone? But they're not satisfied only with that, but they want me to not only not come against them, but they also want me to agree with their ungodly lifestyle. It is not just happenstance. It is by design that Satan is doing this. That the culture wants us to not only agree, but also to condone the ungodliness. Don't do it. Scripture tells us, and how long ago was it written? They lie in wait to deceive. Recognize who is the enemy, and it's Satan. Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Prove it. Prove who you are as children of the Lord. The world will go crazy trying to figure you out when you get this right. And your life will be so much more rewarding. Ladies, wives, moms, you have a huge, huge responsibility, privilege, opportunity to influence your children and others. But mostly this morning we're talking about your children in the way that you live and the way you conduct your life. Remember, your children are listening probably much, much more with their eyes than they are with their ears. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you as you continue to try to get it right. We still love you. Each one of you. You can't be mad at me. I spoke God's word. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for the way that you have created man, woman, and the family. Help us, Lord, that we would, in a greater way, go from here and understand your purpose for our lives, and that we would fulfill your plan in our lives for each one of us. Guide us this afternoon. Help us to honor you with what we do and what we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.